Okay. So to continue to try to understand more about the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, so we have, in order to do that, we first worked from a introduction based on the concept of Shemaya Kohona, recognizing that that's going to be a big key to understanding how this interactive mitzvah works. So we needed to try to understand how Shemaya Kohona works off the premise that it plays a role, although we saw last time that we're not clear just how much of a role it plays. That there certainly does seem to be such a component of hearing one person speak and of others relating to that. And we see that the notion of a bar chiyuva plays a role, and a whole Gemara about Summa and various other references along those lines. So we certainly have elements of Shomea Kaona being presented to us, and it sounds like that's what's going on. But we also saw some aspects that need explanation, and we saw that there could be other theories of what's happening with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim also. Maybe it's not based on Shomea Kaona, maybe it's based on something else. And one of the fundamental difficulties we need to figure out in terms of if Shemaya Kaona is the tool, so how exactly does the interactive nature work with that? So we saw that, at least according to the Beis Halevi, and maybe even without the Beis Halevi, maybe it's a logical position to take, that if a mitzvah is about communicating with someone else, so then one would imagine that you probably have to actually speak it out loud. And that just hearing somebody else speak, even if that counts for you in some way, it's hard to imagine that that's a full communication. So a part of what we tried to figure out last time is what indeed is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We find this language of Sipur, we find language of Haggadah, all of those seem to suggest communication. And we find the Manishtana, we find the interactive structure, we find that that's apparently built into the system so that even if one doesn't have children at the table, and even if one has no one at the table other than himself, there's still a need for this kind of a question and answer format. So how do we relate to what's going on? Is it about communication? Is that the mitzvah of Pesach night? So what sense do you have so far about that? How would you characterize this mitzvah? Knowing everything that we've seen so far and all of these elements, what's your chush to this point? Any kind of tendency here? Yeah, Sam?
I wasn't here Sunday, but...
Okay. I wasn't either, actually, on Sunday. But go on. Sunday is not the...
You know, I had a what's going on? Yeah.
No, okay.
But it would seem like that the mitzvah is about communicating.
Is?
Yeah.
Okay. What are your clues to that? What are your...
I mean, just from the God and stuff like that, it seems very much conversational, you know, telling it not specifically to your family.
Right, so that's undeniable. Yeah. Right? The fact that it's conversational is certainly embedded in the whole mitzvah. But what maybe there's some room to wonder about, just to clarify the question a little bit before we go further, is that because the goal is communication? Like, for example, we know that we have a mitzvah of Pershumei Nisa in the context of Chanukah and Purim. Right? And we know that Pesach also takes an element of that, with the Dalet Kosos, at least. Is that what Haggadah is about also? That is it about specifically communicating? Right? You know, recall that we said when it comes to Pershumei Nisa mitzvos, that's why you had to go all out and spend whatever you need to spend, because communication either happens or it doesn't. So you can't be credited with your efforts. You have to actually make sure it happens. So is it that what we're talking about? Is it that kind of communication? Or, like we saw a little bit last time, maybe it's not really about communication. It's about, that shows us a style, you know, that gives a certain oomph and a character to what's happening. And maybe that's why we're told to do it that way. But it's not really about communicating with somebody else. I just want to flesh that out. So yeah, so what would you say?
From the fact that you could presumably do the mitzvah by yourself, it would seem to me that can't be the goal. I would think you would have to fulfill a goal, but I would think the goal of the mitzvah would be intrinsic to the actual result.
So you say it sounds like it could exist without the communication.
Yeah, meaning that can't be I mean, I guess it could be a goal, but it can't be like the purpose or the sole purpose behind it.
Maybe, right. So it's interesting that it can exist without it, unless you might say, you could say, still, that first of all, maybe it's really about communication, but just lamaisa, if you're without anyone to communicate with, so we need to still, you know, there are other mitzvahs also, which really are all for a certain purpose as far as we can understand them, but you're not going to get off the hook if you don't have that context, because we need to preserve the structure. So it's still possible to say that it really is about communication, and we wish you would have somebody to communicate with, but if you didn't, we're still going to keep the mitzvah in its format. It's also interesting, we talk about Pursumi Nisa, so there is a discussion in the context of Hilchos Hanukkah, you know, is it possible for you to be the recipient of the Pursumi Nisa at the same time? Right. So it's one thing to say that you can't skip out on Hanukkah because the Pursumi Nisa has to happen, but what if you do the mitzvah in the way that only is seen by you, which is discussed in this forum? Let's say you're traveling somewhere and you're in an area where there's nobody to see the candles. I'll say certainly no Jews to see the candles, which opens up the question, is it specifically only for Jews? But let's assume that it is. So let's say you're somewhere where there's no Jews to see the candles. So does that affect your mitzvah? And together with the fact that Pursumi Nisa is both absolute and not absolute at the same time. Because on the one hand we say it's absolute, meaning it's got to happen. You can't get away without it. So you have to spend a lot of money or do whatever is necessary to make sure that it happens. But it's not absolute in the sense that it's still given to different degrees. So we could still say, and here I'm borrowing from Hilchos Hanukkah details, that you know you should ideally light in the most public place at the most public time with all of the best circumstances, because that increases the Pursumi Nisa. But without all that, there's still an inyan. Right? So it's possible to say that, and here we're dealing with Darabanan concepts more, so the comparison may not really be fully fair, but it's possible to say that there is such a notion of a mitzvah that is about communicating a message, and ideally will communicate the message to other people as effectively as possible. But without it, without all of that being possible, there's still a structure that we hold on to anyway. And that maybe you yourself could be the recipient of the message, which would be far better than not conveying the message at all. Again, looking to the Hanukkah as a model, maybe. So, with all that, I keep throwing it back at you after twisting it. So what do you think? What's going on here? Is that the kind of structure that you have for Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim? Is that what it's about? Is it about like a Pursumi Nisa kind of thing? Which also opens the whole question about the Dalakosos, right? Because the Dalakosos, we know, are associated with Pursumi Nisa. So is that like an extra element of the Seder, or is that part of the theme of the Seder extended? We know Dalakosos are Drabanan, but is it a new mitzvah Drabanan, or is it the same mitzvah of Haggadah that's given an extra vehicle? So this could affect the whole Shomei Ka'ona question, right? Because if you say that this is a mitzvah about communicating, so then maybe you have to really communicate. But if you say that this is just the style, so then it could be that, okay, the style is being accomplished by the speaker, and everyone else who's listening is also connecting to that style. Now here, let's look at the Rambam. So what can you notice from the language of the Rambam? So here, this is Parak Zayin of Hilchos Chametz and Matzah, Halacha Aleph. So what does he say? Mitzvah Saseh Shel Torah, L'Sapir B'Nisan V'Niflos, Shana Sula Avoseinu B'Mitzrayim, B'Leil Chamisha Asa B'Nisan, Shana Mar Zachor Es Hayom Hazeh Asher Yatzasim B'Mitzrayim. Kmo Shana Mar Zachor Som HaShabbos. U'minayin Shebelel Chamisha Asar, Talmud Lomar, V'Gadata Levincha V'Yom Ahulemor Ba'avur Zeh, B'Shah She'esh Matzah Umar Munochim Lefanecha. ואף על פי שאין לו בין, אפילו חכמים גדולים, חיובים לספר ביציאס מצרים, וכל המערך בדברים שראו ושהיו, הרי זה משובח. So that is Halacha Aleph. Halacha Beis, Parak Zayin, says the Rambam, mitzvah להודיע לבונים, ואפילו לא שאלו, שנאמר והגעת לבינך, לפי דייתו של בן אביב מלמדו. Ketzar, im hayakotin no tipeish, omelo b'ni kulanu hayinu avadim, kamo shivchazo. O kamo evid zab in Mitzrayim, uvalaylo hazeb, hada osana hakarish baruch v'yotzienu l'cheirus, im haya ben gadol v'chacham, modio, ma she'eru lanu b'Mitzrayim, v'nisun shenas lanu l'idei Moshe Rabbeinu, hakol afi daito shel haben. So, and maybe we'll just add the third halacha here also, because it contributes to the whole package. Halacha Gimel v'tzarech la'asos shinui b'layla hazeh k'dei sheyiru habanim v'yishalu v'yomru manishtana halayla hazeh mikol leilos ad sheyashiv lehem v'yomru lehem kach v'kach eru v'kach v'kach haya v'keitzim mishanim machalik lehem kloyis v'gozim v'okrim ashulcham afneihem kodim sheyochlu v'chotrim matzazem v'yad zeh v'chiyaitzim v'dvar me'elu ein lo ben ishto sho'alto ein lo isha sho'olin zeh ezeh manishtana halayla hazeh v'afil ha'yukur chanachamim. Okay, so what can you glean from all of that? What's your impression from all of those statements there on them? Do you get a sense one way or another? Well, one thing that's interesting to note, there's a number of things interesting to note, but one thing interesting to note is that from Halacha Aleph to Halacha Beis, the Rambam seems to tell us two different points. And he gives two different sources, which is itself something we're really going to have to figure out. So first, he talks about the mitzvah of Zechira. And he quotes the pasuk, Shmos Yud Gimel Gimel, Zachar Asiyom Hazeh, Asher Yatzasim Mitzrayim. And how does he formulate that mitzvah? L'saper b'nisim v'niflos. Right? To speak of these wondrous things that happen. In Halacha Beis, what happens? So here he quotes another pasuk, Yud Gimel Ches, which was also quoted in the first halacha in a slightly different context, but this is a few pesukim later. And he says, mitzvah lahodia labanim, v'afilu lo shalo shenamar v'gadat levincha. So, what's going on there? That's something we need to figure out. What's with the two different psukim being emphasized? And the notion of zachar is interesting for two reasons, at least two more reasons. One is, this is the same pasuk which, as far as we know, is the source for the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, the daily mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which doesn't have any of the conditions that we associate with the Seder night. So that's interesting. And we've mentioned several times that there are a number of differences we could think of between Zechira and Sipur, as Chaim is quoted as pointing out, and as we see ourselves from many different indications, right, as far as detail, and as far as this aspect of communication and an interactive format. So we have to figure out how that all comes from the same pasuk, these two different mitzvos. And what about the fact that the Rambam, and there's really a medrash that makes this connection, but the Rambam is more well known for this point, that this Rambam we just read, so he invokes Zechiras Shabbos towards this point. Yeah, Sam?
Could the combination of Zechira and be what creates Sipur? Meaning that they're both used to create this new mitzvah, and there's no Sipur source because you're combining two aspects to create Sipur.
So you're saying that it could be that we start with Zechira, and Zechira is a daily obligation. And the fact that we also have the language of he got it to the Bincha, so, and that which the Gemara understands, and the Rambam quotes that pasuk also in the first halacha, to say, so that could be clarifying that there is a Zechira on a daily basis. But when matzah and maror is in front of you, so then there's more to do. Right? And then that is going to require something beyond. Now, what is that something beyond? Right? And also, what to make of the connection to Shabbos? Now, why is he mentioning that? Just to tell you they have the word Zachar in both places? Presumably not, right? Presumably that you could figure out. Or that, even if you couldn't figure out, it still has to matter for some reason. So why does it matter? And just to give you a sense, this is something that many Mefarshim talk about and offer many different theories. But what does it strike you? Why does the Rambam feel a need to say, oh, Zechira Sisiyas Mitzrayim, just like you have Zechira by Shabbos? Right, the fact that Chazal put the discussions about Kiddush in our parak, and that's why we want to also spend time on that. So, you know, what is the message of comparing the two? And keep in mind also that we saw that together with everything else, Kiddush Pesach night has a special significance. And we saw the view that many Rishonim and the commentaries in the Shulchan Aruch, more formally the Magen Avraham and especially the Taz, that Kiddush Pesach night is different than Kiddush on a regular Friday night, that it has to specifically be after dark because it is integrated into the mitzvahs of the Lila. So, do you see any particular message that the Rambam might be trying to drive with associating Shabbos Kiddush, Shabbos Zechira, and the Zechira of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Sam?
Maybe he's trying to point out that here's a different type of Zechira than we usually have for Mitzrayim, and that during the regular time, our Zechira is more not intellectual, but like passive, as we don't do any action for that Sephiro, where by pointing out the Shabbos, he's pointing towards a more active Sephiro.
Now, Shabbos is interesting, because also something that we'll have to explore. So we've kind of just taken as a given, Zachar means Kiddush, etc. So it is true that we assume that the mitzvah of Kiddush is traced to the mitzvah of Zechiras HaShabbos, for the most part. Although one of the things we'll see when we explore this is actually many, one sefer that points out, is at least 15 different interpretations in the Rishon and the Achronim, what the mitzvah and HaTorah of Zachar HaShabbos HaShabbos L'Kadsho entails. But we shouldn't forget that it's not necessarily only Kiddush. Right? And as the Ramban points out in his commentary to Chumash, that we fulfill Zechiras HaShabbos during the week also. How do we fulfill Zechiras HaShabbos during the week? Well, one way is if we find some interesting bargain on some good food, then we say, let's take that for Shabbos. That's the fulfillment of Zechiras HaShabbos. The fact that we identify the days of the week by the Shabbos is a Zechiras HaShabbos throughout. So when it comes to Zechiras HaShabbos, we probably have both. You know, you probably have a low-level Zechira and then a more intense Zechira at a certain point. And you know, that might be something to consider as far as what exactly is the parallel.
Even though the weekdays, it still seems to resemble a more active level of spirit on that year, whether it's just verbal preparation or you're buying a deal, like something on sale, you still are actively preparing for Shabbos, which I think would make it more active.
As opposed
to just like...
Well, let's say certainly... Saying Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos is not much more than the daily Zechiras HaSidus Mitzrayim. So having a structure where it's a combination of small doses and a big dose is maybe one level of similarity. So this is an interesting point to note, all of these different aspects, and this is something that's going to require fleshing out a lot more. But just to put some suggestions on the table, so there are some who have suggested that maybe what we have here is really a combination of different things. And that there is a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim for your own sake, and that an expansion of the mitzvah of Zechira that applies on a daily level should apply more intensely Pesach night, and all of the detail and the interactive format is really still a way of impressing it on your own psyche in a stronger way, and that should work through Shomei Kona, right? Because the speaker should be able to express himself this way, and others who are listening should also get that flavor. But there's an added component that the Rambam is identifying here of Lahodia that also should be communicated to others. So that communication to others, maybe that part is contingent on there actually being an other to communicate it to. So it's there for that purpose, but it doesn't necessarily eliminate the first part. So there you're going to have a goal of actually communicating with somebody. So what about that? Can that be done through Shomei Kona? So let's say, for example, we mentioned last time that the Tshuvas Betzela Chochma has a discussion about this. Let's say you have a father with little children, and he goes to his in-law's table or his father's table for Pesach. So here, the father has a mitzvah of Yigadeta L'Bircha. But at the table, he's not doing too much talking. His father, his father-in-law is doing all the talking. So how does that work? As far as Yigadeta L'Bircha. Yes, Sam? Yigadeta
L'Bircha might not be... It might be more... it's strange because they're not necessarily the same exact family living in the same house. But it might not be the individual mental on each people on an individual person, but more of a communal mental that's more manifest in a said individual, which could allow others to help fulfill it.
Interesting. So is that...
Also, he is creating the framework for the experience, but we're like we said, there, kids to school.
Okay, point very, very well taken. Right, so that comparison is very interesting. Right, the fact that we know we have a general mitzvah of teaching your children Torah, of all the Torah, and we assume that that is fulfilled through sending your kids to school. So is that a good model here? Maybe. And maybe that's what's going on. So some suggest that perhaps that mitzvah, that maybe is not done through Shemei Kona, right? You can't communicate, A cannot communicate with B by listening to C speak, it would seem. Right? So Shemei Kona should be a poor tool for that. But maybe there's still other elements. So maybe what about plain old shlichus? Right? That you ask somebody else to perform a result-based mitzvah on your behalf. And if there's a result-based mitzvah here that your children should know about the Nisim, so maybe you can delegate someone else to tell them about this. So maybe it's actually not Shemei Kona, maybe that's just straight old Shlichus. Now, Sam's point is well taken also, very well taken, that truth is you don't even need technical Shlichus. It's just simply that the nature of this mitzvah is education, and education is very often utilized through the talents of those who are able to do so most effectively, if that means sending them to a school or whatever. So maybe it's no less than sending your kid to school. So the same way that you have a mitzvah to teach your children Torah, and you do that through sending them to school, so Pesach night also, you can go to your elder's table, you can go to your father-in-law's table and have him be the rabbi. And that's no different than taking the kids to school. Yeah?
It could also be though that the mitzvah isn't about teaching.
Uh-huh, okay.
It's in a result-based way, but it's about experiencing. Like I think the Rambam says, you're supposed to feel.
Okay, so the experience, and that's something we're going to have to explore further in the coming days, because clearly that plays a big role here. Right? And the whole idea of Liros and Laharos, we mentioned a few times briefly. So clearly that's going to be something to very significantly pay attention to. So one difference, if we want to use the technical terms of Shlichus and Shemei Kona here, and we could say that the mitzvah to express the Nisan with wonderment for your own sake, there Shemei Kona could work. The mitzvah of communicating to children, so that only applies if you have the children to communicate to. But indeed, you might be in such a position that you do have children to communicate to, but you're not the one doing the talking. So how does that work? So maybe that's actually Shlichus or something of the kind, rather than Shemei Kona. So does it make a difference whether you call it Shemei Kona or Shlichus? So it might, and whether the Sefer called it Torah Mitzvah makes this point, that when it comes to Shlichus, we know we have the idea of Mitzvah Bo Yosu Mibashlucho. Right, that it is a mitzvah to still do the personal involvement rather than relying on Shlichus. Well, when it comes to Shemei Kona, we mentioned that there is a Tosfos that sounds like it applies there also. But for the most part of the halacha, we don't assume that Shemei Kona has a preference for you to do it yourself. So this could affect things. So when it comes to this idea, so again, let's talk about the father who has children who's going to a grandparent's home. So let's say, okay, fine, naniach that he can fulfill this obligation through letting the grandfather do all the talking. But is there an aspect of mitzvah bo, yosu mibashlucho, still better that he should do? So one could submit that, yes, there's an element of that, but not to the exclusion. So, for example, should someone say, okay, better not to go to the grandparents' house so that it won't happen through shlichus, better you should do it yourself because mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucho? So I would think not, for several reasons. Because first of all, There's a whole interesting discussion in the poskim. Very often, and this comes up, let's say, especially situations like Bris Milah, and also other mitzvahs such as Ksiva Sefer Torah, that very often, if you're going to insist on doing a mitzvah yourself, you're not necessarily going to do it as effectively from a quality perspective as somebody else you might appoint. And that's going to be lacking in hiddur and other elements. So if you have to choose between doing a mitzvah the best possible way or doing it yourself, so how does that factor in? So presumably, even though it's a discussion postgame, presumably doing the mitzvah the best possible way is a higher priority than doing it yourself. And again, that's what we see in Bris Milah and Sefer Torah and things like that. So here, there's a big argument to be made that having the grandfather lead the Seder is going to be the best way to do the mitzvah. First, if the grandfather happens to be capable of doing so more powerfully and effectively than the father does, but also we could add that just the very element of being together with more generations and with the elders is itself an enhancement to an enormous degree of the whole mitzvah of Higadat to Lebencha. So to be able to be in the presence of the grandparents and have them doing this itself is going to enhance the mitzvah to a very significant degree, more than being makbid on doing everything on your own. But together with that, we should also note that it's not one or the other, right? That it's certainly possible for the father to partake to some degree in doing some of the talking and making his own contribution to the teaching while still having the grandfather take the lion's share of the communicating. So the point would come out that there might be a role for the father to at least do some of the conversation in order to have his own personal involvement. But the milus of having it happen through this particular vehicle, both the general concept of being with the grandparents and its relevance to the whole Masorah transmission, and maybe the specific talents the grandfather might bring to it, all of that probably combines to make a very effective and intensive fulfillment of the Higadah to Lebencha. But still, we have a lot more that we need to figure out about the elements of this mitzvah. So, Be'ez Hashem, we will pick up from this tomorrow. We'll have to cram in a lot to our shorter framework tomorrow and keep pushing along to get as much as we can out of this crucial week. So, we'll pick up then. I wish you all a wonderful day. Should be only good things. And I look forward to seeing you here tomorrow.